discussion on the big topics in sports. This is Riddle and the Reporter with Junie Riddle and Nick Keiser on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Good Saturday morning and welcome in to Riddle and the Reporter live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every single Saturday morning from 9 to 11. Junie Riddle here. Nick Keiser is, well, he's somewhere. I don't know exactly where, but he is here telling us at the last minute that he's going to be on via Zoom last night. Throwing that at me. Keiser, how are you this morning? And can you please explain to me where you are?
I'm good. I'm at home with family because we have an annual Christmas get-together, but it is something that I could not get out of. I wish I could be there with you guys this morning. And look, better yet, Junie, happy late birthday, my friend. It's a pleasure to celebrate your birthday on the next day, but it's our show, and it's just a day removed. So, no, please God, no. We already did that once. No. No way.
The boys sang for me yesterday. My birthday was yesterday, so I appreciate the birthday wishes. I'm now 27 years, way too old. I'm not liking getting up in age. I'm that much closer to 30.
These are old men now.
Scary thought. Are you even 20 yet, Connor?
Nope.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Either way, he doesn't know what we have to deal with, Keiser. But either way, good stuff. So, but no, don't worry about being at a family function, Nick. You know, family comes first. It is the holiday season. It's time to get into the cheer. And just a heads up, programming note, we will not be having a show next Saturday. We are taking it off because majority of us are celebrating Christmas on Christmas Eve next week. So do not expect another Riddle in the Reporter until after the holiday. But a lot of stuff going down this week in the world of sports. And I got to start with this one for you, Nick. We discussed Vanderbilt football last week and talking about how there's a lot of marquee players that are leaving the program with Clark Lea at the helm. It's tough to see, but probably the best player on the team that entered into the transfer portal was wide receiver Will Shepard. He is going to be playing with primetime Deion Sanders and Shadur at Colorado next year. So what were your thoughts when that came out earlier this week, Nick? Because I think this is big time for Will Shepard.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, look, he goes to a Colorado team and to see him go that way, it was kind of surprising. Now, for me, looking at his numbers, he had 47 receptions last season. He had 684 yards and 8 touchdowns. And so he was their best wide receiver. And he decided that, yeah, this program's not for me. And we kind of ran through that prior, and we were trying to talk more about what that meant for Vanderbilt moving forward last week. So, but I think it's more of a signal to what can Clark Lea do to add more talent to the offense. And we're not necessarily sure of that yet. And he made a lot of moves on his own. He said, hey, I'm going to take over the defense. And, you know, he's going to be, you know, all hands on deck. And losing Will Shepard, that was a surprise a little bit. I think he's more or less looking at, hey, I'm an NFL prospect. And so I think he wants to make the most out of this coming season for sure, Junie. But what did you think?
Oh, I mean, I thought exactly the same thing. He's been the number one wide receiver in the program for the past 2 years. Obviously, you know, the quarterback play the past two seasons haven't been fantastic. It was supposed to change, and that's probably the reason he stayed on this year, thinking that A.J. Swan was going to be the answer, and clearly he was not. So him making that move, going with Shadur needs a lot of help around him. You know, especially when you're, you know, Travis Hunter's your number one wide receiver and he also plays defense. And really, we think he's going to play corner in the NFL. So, you know, they needed a true number one wide receiver. They've been getting a bunch of offensive line transfers. They just landed the number one left tackle in the class to sign over with Colorado. So they're looking like they might have a big turnaround as they move into the Big 12. So Will Shepard, I feel like, made the right decision for himself going forward. And I think that, you know, as talented as he is and as talented as we know that he is, I mean, I think this definitely gives him a legitimate shot to go on and play on Sundays next season. So good for Will Shepard. He's going to be on a lot of national televised games next year because that hype with Colorado is only going to grow and it's only going to come back now that Deion's got a full offseason with the program. So good for him. But I don't know if you caught any Thursday Night Football. I think I heard you talking about it on your show yesterday with Robbie and Rex Road. How you were watching it with some buddies, and what was it? You're like, this game sucks. Let's go bowling. Is that what you did, Nick?
Yeah. So I had dinner with my parents, and we went to go watch a little bit of the game. And I was hanging out with my friends, right? And then we go, oh my God, this first half sucks. And so then it was a friend of mine that we don't get to see very much. He'll be in my wedding. So when we get to see him, we like to go out sometimes. And so he came, and then we're like, all right, screw it. If the game sucks, let's just go bowling or go do something in town. And so the Tornado went through Big Play in Hendersonville. So we didn't go there, obviously, but we went behind Strike and Spare and played there. And your boy hit a few strikes for sure. But we went and played, and then we saw what the score was, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's no way this just happened. So, but I'm shocked the Raiders ran up the score like that. I really am. I mean, who would have thought that Aiden O'Connell would be part of a 60-point game? And so, gosh, I was astounded just looking at the scoreboard and then waking up the next day, putting that in my update, and then, you know, Brandon Staley gets fired. The general manager gets fired. The run game, pass game coordinator, whatever that job, he got let go to inside the Chargers organization. It was a clean house yesterday, and it's only going to get started there with the Chargers, Junie. So it is looking like a different franchise, just one game removed from having a franchise worst. And I think it was NFL high and quite some time. Obviously, we saw 70 scored by the Dolphins earlier this season. But
and outside of that, I can't remember the last time I've seen a score like that. Outside of that Dolphins game, again, Dolphins are the outlier. But no, that was definitely different. I remember I actually my parents came in for my birthday the day before that night. And we were sitting there making dinner, and, you know, obviously I had the game on, and no sooner than I look up, it's already 21-0, go to do something else, and looking back, and it's right at halftime, and it's 42-0, and I'm just like, my God. Like, you know, you know a bad coach is doing a pretty terrible job when he has a quarterback to the caliber of Justin Herbert. And, you know, they're still a losing franchise this year. And then you look at a coach with a backup quarterback, and you're like, okay, when the going gets tough, what do you do? Do you roll over, or do you actually, you know, get a little bit more out of your team? Does your team, you know, bring a little bit more fight? Do you energize the guys in the locker room even when you know that the starting quarterback is out for the rest of the season? We're seeing that with Cincinnati right now with Browning. You know, they're starting to, you know, rally around him, and they're still in the playoff mix. Well, for the Chargers, it's the complete opposite. We already knew Brandon Staley was going to be out at the end of the year, but, I mean, that was just the icing and cherry on the cake right there for you. And so he's gone. The general manager's gone. They fired a bunch of assistant coaches as well. So it's going to be a completely new-looking regime there for the Los Angeles Chargers, which is surprising because they do have one of the more talented rosters in the NFL. So I think this opening is going to be one of the more coveted openings this entire offseason. I think people are going to be fighting to see who can get that opportunity because easily it's going to be the best landing spot out of all of the NFL openings that are going on this offseason. So last thing that I did see this morning was a quarterback that I am quite fond of because he played for the college that I grew up rooting for, and that is Teddy Bridgewater. Is planning to retire at the end of the season. So I'm pretty fond of Teddy. I kind of wanted to bring this up. You know, Teddy's a really good player. He's been a really good backup that's bounced around the league. I really enjoyed watching him at the University of Louisville. He's one of those guys, Nick, that I don't know if you remember this, but when he got drafted by the Minnesota Vikings, they instantly started having success, and he was kind of coming along really well. And I think it was the offseason – either going into the 2015. It might have been going into the 2016 season. He just absolutely shatters his knee, was never the same, couldn't get back into that form, and had just been a consistent backup ever since. But shout out to a 10-year career for Teddy Bridgewater. Great quarterback, great guy, does a lot for the communities that he plays in. He did a lot for the community that I grew up in, knowing that. So shout out to Teddy Bridgewater, who's setting to retire at the end of this year.
And also, let me throw this out there as another bit of Predators history, just because it just doesn't continue to stop. Golly, I mean, Connor knows firsthand after last night working the hockey game. But look, this is something I just figured out this morning before coming on with you guys, is Philip Forsberg. I just put this out there on X, Twitter. Go check it out. This is insane. Philip Forsberg is the only player in Predators history to score an overtime goal in consecutive games, regular season, or playoffs. He's also the first player to do it league-wide since Martin Natchez of the Hurricanes, funny enough, because that's who they beat last night in overtime, since Martin Natchez earlier in January, which was kind of crazy. So Forsberg has three consecutive overtime game winners, by the way, and that's never happened in Preds history.
Now, Philip Forsberg is, I mean, he's just flat out having an amazing season. The Preds, I believe they're 12-3 in their last 15 games. They are red hot. They're one of the hottest teams in the entire NHL. It seems like they're finally getting things together. And we're going to be talking a bunch of Preds coming up at the 10 o'clock hour. A lot of things going on. They're on a hot streak. You know, there are some players that are rumored to be on the trading block that, you know, we need to get some updates with Nick and some of the insights that he has. So we're going to be getting into that a bunch here at the 10 o'clock hour number two of here on Riddle and the Reporter. But coming up next, the big news of the week is the Tennessee Titans. Big time comeback against the Miami Dolphins. A lot of drama centered around the team as well with the release of what I would call a pretty significant player, Nick. We're going to get into the Titans, their game this weekend, what they did, making NFL history on Monday Night Football in Miami. We're going to talk Titans the rest of hour number one here on Riddle and the Reporter coming up next. You're listening to us here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. In an effort to aid those affected by tornadoes from this past weekend, the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee and the United Way of Greater Nashville have activated emergency relief funds. For more information on how you can donate, visit cfmt.org or thegamenashville.com to figure out the way that you can donate. Keezer, I know you live up there in Hendersonville, or at least your family does. Was everything okay with you guys last week with the storms? Because I know we were talking about expecting them after our show last week, but we did not expect for it to have a major impact like it did. It was horrible stuff to hear about. I know it scared a lot of people, especially after what happened back in 2020, right before the pandemic. So is everything okay with you guys up there, and anybody get any kind of damage?
Family's good. I drove by and I saw a lot of damage on Main Street as it was advertised, maybe a little bit more blown out of proportion, to be honest. But I did see a couple different spots when we talked about when I was watching the football game last segment on Thursday Night Football and I drove into town. I saw that Big Play was definitely like it was half of itself, literally. And so that was crazy to see. Most of the biggest landmarks in town look pretty much the same to me. I know that the U-Haul that's in town, that got a big chunk taken out of it. That was kind of crazy to see. And then I'm sure I'm missing some other things. I didn't see everything, but the family's okay. There were some interesting, different, you know, little spots that got hit, some that didn't. Now, crazy enough, I was speaking with some people that go to First Baptist Church that I go to, and was speaking with what they had just in terms of stories. And so apparently the tornado kind of hopped, which was weird. So like it came into the front part of town, and then the farther it got down Main Street, it elevated. So by the time it got farther into town, it started to go up, and then it came back down. So it kind of like a hop. So yeah, everything has been pretty much recovered. The roads are drivable now. For a while, people didn't have power until like Tuesday or Wednesday, believe it or not. So, but yeah, I think it's good. If you can donate to anything that you can find, go for it. I've seen people do t-shirt charities. I've seen people just do, hey, here's a schedule to go help out and clean up. So any way that you can help us out, that would be great. So, but Hendersonville got hit, you know, Clarksville, you have to mention that got, you know, a lot of damage. Clarksville got hit really hard as well. So any way that you can donate, thegamenashville.com, we've got stuff over there that you can go check out. So please give support, Nashville Strong. We have come back stronger from this prior. So please give your time and energy to help others.
100%. I think the last total that I saw was 6 people lost their lives. So thoughts and prayers to those families affected by that. And, you know, like I said, donate at that link. Do what you can. It's going to a good place, especially for those that are dealing with this around the holidays. It always makes it that much harder. So keep those people in mind. But on Monday, the Titans got a huge 28-27 victory over the Miami Dolphins. They're the first team in NFL history to be down by 14 points under 3 minutes to go and to come back and win the game without having to go to overtime. So my reaction, Nick, I was shocked. I was stunned. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I thought the Titans had played a great game basically all the way through up until midway in the fourth quarter when, you know, Guerra had the muff punt and Will Levis threw the bad pitch, and that led to 2 consecutive quick Miami Dolphins touchdowns. And then all of a sudden they just start airing the ball out and make a quick comeback. I mean, my jaw was to the floor about how that game ended up. So what was your reaction to that? And in your estimate, how does this impact the team going forward the rest of the way?
Well, let's start with the impact. I mean, it's just a win. This doesn't really do too much for the franchise. Other than that, it's a win. It doesn't really go toward, hey, we're going to the playoffs. No, it doesn't really do that whatsoever. But I think it speaks volumes to the character that this group can develop. And so yesterday, we'll get into this, I know, with Tier Tart, and I'm not going to spoil it. If you know, you know. But I think with the way that the team wants to move, you know, as just a collective and the attitude moving forward, it's important to remind ourselves as viewers of the Titans that while they've had a very down season, they go to Miami, be arguably the best offense in the NFL, the best analytical stat-wise offense right now in the league. Maybe not talent-wise, but they're up there. Now, I think what this does for Will Levis, dude, primetime games, he's going to be amped up more than usual for sure. He is an animal. I know Vrabel wants him to dial that down just a little bit for sure, but by golly, it is so much fun to watch when the Titans are fueled by playing primetime and when they're motivated, when they're self-motivated to look different. So I that was a really fun game to watch. And I'm not going to lie, I think most of Nashville turned that game off before halftime, maybe at halftime, thinking this is not going to be worth it. And so it's one of those historical games for the franchise moving forward. And look, I think they're the only team this century to do something like that, and probably even farther. It's probably close to all time. I have no idea you could go that far back, but, dude, it was insane. What was your reaction to that kind of win? Because I think that's going to be huge moving forward for a lot of guys character-wise.
Well, I mean, I thought that they played it perfectly. You know, the checkdowns to kind of move downfield. They were in more of a prevent kind of defense, letting Spears get out into open space, getting out of bounds, conserving their time and their timeouts. I mean, I thought the fact that they just moved the ball down the field. I mean, how many times – like, they ran the ball – during the game so much with very little success with Derrick Henry. I mean, he was barely averaging over 2 yards a carry in this matchup. It seems as if they weren't really letting Will Levis air it out. And granted, like, I didn't think they should going into this game. I mean, you're talking about a really good secondary with Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard and Holland back there at safety. I mean, this is a really good secondary that Miami has. And not to mention, they got a – I think they had a 46% pass rush win rate, pressure rate on Will Levis, which is almost impossible for a quarterback to get anything going. So the fact that all of this was going down and that methodically this offense was able to put together two drives, you know, in the span that it did in order to come back and win that game at the very end is plain and simple remarkable. And for those, like, you know, we were talking about it last week. I was kind of going through the rest of the schedule, like if the Titans were to lose out and maybe how I kind of think things are going to play out. I think they had a legitimate shot at getting a top three draft pick. But to me, what is more important than a top three draft pick for this Tennessee Titans team is, for one, the young players to get experience like this in a crucial situation on prime time in front of the entire country. And number two, getting Will Levis that confidence to say, okay, when the going gets tough and my back is against the wall and I've made crucial mistakes that have led to two different touchdowns, the pick six at the beginning, the bad toss to Henry where the Dolphins scored to go up 27-13, he could have rolled over. He could have gotten flustered. He could have quit. He could have said this game is over, on to the next, but he didn't. He put his nose to the grindstone, and he went out, and he won that football game. And just to show you, I know that, like, we're laughing that he was hulked out and his eyes were going crazy, but to me, that shows a marquee moment. And Peyton Manning even mentioned it on the Manning Cast that he had a game similar to that, to where he had a really remarkable comeback in his rookie year that showed him that he could do it. And through the ups and downs of what we've seen from this quarterback, his ability to make throws, his arm talent, his mobility, his talent to extend plays, this is something that can carry over not only the rest of the season, but going into next season. And I think that that's huge in a big-time growing moment for this Titans offense that they can harness onto and grow off of the rest of the season and look forward to the offseason where they're going to have a lot of capabilities to grow this roster.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to look at it too is he had the crazy eyes. He's very animated for sure, right? But I think the more collective that Will Levis becomes on the field and he can take his time and think about how dangerous he's going to be, Junie, when he can make better reads and his progressions look like, you know, a better, you know, top tier quarterback in the NFL. That's what his ceiling kind of looks like right now, right? You can't really argue that it's a little too early, but I mean, I don't want to, you know, put words in his mouth or anything, but I'm sure he feels like he's on top of the world. And, you know, to kind of come into a team that you weren't really sure having three quarterbacks, and now you're the main focus at this point in the season with about 4 weeks left. That's awesome for him. You know, who would have thought, you know, sitting there at the draft, especially me watching the draft and sitting at our station running the board and talking to Jared Stillman about it was like, what are we doing? But look, I think it's important to remind ourselves that this franchise, they're retooling themselves and, you know, they're starting to cut out that dead weight and that, you know, the fatty parts of the franchise that don't belong. They're becoming much stronger and they're flexing their muscles, and they did so against the Dolphins. And so I'm encouraged by a lot, Junie, and I know that we have a lot more to get into in terms of this Titans team. And I know that one guy that I kind of, you know, look at and go, they're starting to do this, is Tyre Tart. So I know we're going to get into that. So I'm kind of curious what you think about that cut, because I was golfing yesterday when I saw that. So that's a very intriguing move reported by Paul Kaharsky yesterday. So we will react to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, Paul Kaharsky came out and said Tyre Tart is out with the Tennessee Titans. A very surprising move by the organization with a guy that's been highly productive when he has been healthy. But all in all, the Titans' defense against the Miami Dolphins looked significantly better. And they have been, really, to me, we knew this offense was going to struggle this year, but we didn't expect the defense to look the way that it has. Is this a turning point for this unit? And is there a guy in particular that is starting to get back to form. We're going to get into that next, talking about the Titans defense and their emergence here late in the year. But before we go, tune into 94.9 The Fan tomorrow for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will be at home against Lipscomb. Tip off is at 1 p.m. and pregame begins at 12:45 with our own Jake Lyman on the call. He's actually in studio with us right now. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Again, we're going to get into the Titans defense a little more coming up next. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter, Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Riddle and the Reporter, Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser here live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Today kicks off bowl season. Honestly, I'm not really watching any of the bowls around this time of the year. I just don't get into it until, you know, the New Year's Six and the college football playoffs. I don't know about you, Connor, Nick. Do y'all get into the early bowls, the no names, the randomness? I just can't get into it. It's like a participation trophy to me. I don't like it.
I'll watch my team because they'll play. I think they play the 29th of December, but I won't watch like the Georgia State bowl games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
I will not watch on my birthday, Connor. I'm not going to watch Kentucky on my birthday, so no thank you. But no, Junie, the only team I really cared about, no name, was right here when they were in the bowl game. Western Kentucky, I'm sure you cannot see it. Maybe you can. It's on my shirt this morning. But
I can.
That's the only bowl team I really cared about was WKU whenever they went to a game. So I didn't really care. I used to really care when like Tennessee or Vanderbilt made a bowl game, you know, growing up. But aside from that, no. And like, I would always pay attention to the Music City Bowl as well. So I've been to those games growing up too. So, but no, I could really care less. This is hockey season for me, so I don't really watch that many bowl games.
No, I completely agree. Western plays on the 18th, so I'll definitely watch that one. But up until Louisville plays USC on the 27th, you're not going to catch me watching very many bowl games, because personally, I just, the randomness of them, unless it's a team, like I said, that I either grew up rooting for or the school I went to, I just don't get into it. I think bowl season's a little bit overrated. But either way, getting back into the Tennessee Titans, talking about the defense was mightily impressive to me, Nick, for one simple reason. The only time the Dolphins got into the end zone was off the Will Levis pick six and off the two turnovers that we mentioned in the fourth quarter that set them up right there inside the red zone where they scored really quickly. Outside of that, the Titans defense did excellent at stalling their drives, forcing them to three. They got the blocked field goal in there. The one drive that they really did drive the whole field was their first offensive possession of the game. And while they were inside the 5-yard line, Tua gets a bad snap, drops it. Jaleel Johnson puts the right guard of the Dolphins in this really sweet, fast swim move and just strips Tua and forces a huge turnover to begin the game. I thought the Titans defense was excellent, and I teased him before the break. There's a guy in particular. He happened to be AFC Defensive Player of the Week this week. And that's Harold Landry. 3 sacks on the game. In the past couple weeks, he's really started to look like his 2021 form when he had 12 sacks that season. I believe he's at 8.5 on the year right now. After a slow start, he's looking like the player that he used to be and finally starting to get back into form after coming off the ACL surgery last year.
Yeah, and so you are right. He is at 8.5 on the season. I just pulled up the Titans stats. Danico Autry has 9. So you have Autry, Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons has 5.5 sacks, and Arden Key has 5 as well. Everybody else is kind of just floating down there with a few here and there. So, but look, it's impressive to see that the Titans defense had a guy like Harold Landry get that award, and it's impressive to see that he's been more like his old self. And it's hard to become a player that you kind of were previously and maybe even get better at that at times. And so I'm encouraged by that, Junie. That's awesome to see. And one other thing that I really like about Harold Landry as well is he has been, you know, good with the solo tackles as well. He's been, you know, making some decent plays, I would say. And so I think when you don't have Kevin Byard, it's encouraging to see that somebody kind of steps up here, right? It's impressive to see that somebody can do something positive on the defense after there was so much hype. We talked about it a long time ago. We talked about it in the early weeks of the season. But now another question mark is, what are they going to do moving forward on that line? And then also, we've probably seen the last of Christian Fulton as well, which I'm sure we'll even get more into because there's a lot of drama back there on defense right now.
Yeah, no, the secondary has been looking rough. But, I mean, honestly, to me, they didn't do a lot to improve the secondary this offseason. I mean, they were 32nd in yards allowed in the passing game last season. To me, it had to do with the front seven and how much of a pass rush they were getting. And I thought that this was the best pass rush we have seen, especially on the road. I mean, they've had a few games against the Chargers and against the Bengals early in the year where the pass rush was getting home, but nothing like this. And so, for me, seeing what this defensive unit has done on Monday Night Football and what they could do the remainder of the season, because the Texans are coming really banged in. Laremy Tunsil has been on the injury report this week. So what I'm really looking forward to is to see these guys get a little bit better. And what I'm really worried about is what I saw earlier in the year when Tyrre Tart went down with injury was, can they get better now that this team has released Tyrre Tart, which was absolutely shocking to me when Paul Kaharski broke that news yesterday. Do you think that this Titans team can rebound from a loss like that? Because Tyrre Tart's their best run-stuffing defensive lineman. I mean, he's taking on constant double teams, and he's had a pretty good year. So everything that's kind of going on, whether it's contract-related with him, whether it's, you know, the Titans thinking that he's lazy and that his effort levels aren't necessarily there, I don't necessarily know if they can, you know, sustain what they showed in the Miami game with this guy being out of the mix now.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough to overcome cutting Tyrre Tart. But the Titans value quality over something like this right now. And that says a lot about the standard that they hold, but also just being a professional as well, Junie. So I think that speaks volumes to the character of Tyrre for sure, because if he's being cut and the Titans know that they're very limited with the options that they've had all season and they've not been as hurt as the last two seasons for sure. But really, what do you expect out of Jaleel Johnson? I mean, he has one sack this year and he doesn't have as much playing time as maybe you'd like to have him rotate in. When you have guys that are on that line, you want them to be rotated in and out, you know, at least somewhat, right? And so Jaleel, yeah, 2017 was a draft pick. He's got some decent experience. He was at Minnesota. Look, I think he could make a difference for now. I mean, he's just there, and that's all you really need right now. You just need somebody there. So I think it'll be okay. He's a competent player from what I remember, at least. Maybe not. You can correct me if you think differently. But look, if you're put in that spot, you feel more confident with what you have personnel-wise. You at least have to feel that way a little bit. So if that's the case, that's fine. But, I mean, there's not really too much to go off of, and – I mean, look, there's not too much depth there. You know, Kyle Pecco also got put on injured reserve along with Christian Fulton. So you're losing some options. And the Titans, I forgot, Junie, there were two guys that the Titans just signed off of practice squads too. I think it was from the Kansas City Chiefs and from somewhere else too, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, they made a couple acquisitions, and clearly with the injuries that are coming down, they're making adjustments to that. You know, I'm glad that you mentioned Jaleel Johnson there. Again, he made that huge play on that Dolphins drive where he forced the fumble inside the 5-yard line on Tua. I mean, that was something positive, but in my opinion, you know, with Jeffrey Simmons being out, Tyrre Tart being released, You know, Denico Autry's been playing really well. I mean, these guys are going to be really, really limited with these injuries that are going down with this defensive front. And it's very frustrating the way that they performed in Miami, and now you're going to be without Tart and Simmons. That's just going to add more of a focal point to Denico Autry, who I think has kind of been up and down this season. He had an excellent game. I mean, an excellent game, probably his best game of the year in Miami, blocking the field goal, constant pressure, stuffing, you know, Raheem Mostert in the backfield a couple times and a chain. Like, he was doing all of that. But how sustainable is that for a guy at his age when you're missing a Tier Tart and a Jeffrey Simmons now, and we don't know when those guys are coming back? So I think it's going to hurt the team in the short run. But for me, if Tier Tart has been lazy and Tier Tart has been, I guess, you know, in a sense, the way that I'm kind of reading between the lines here, he's a little bit mad because of his contract and how much he's being paid. He feels like he deserves more. I say get this guy out of here. I say fine, like, might as well. Like, if you're unhappy and you're not performing to the level that you need to because you're upset about what happened in the offseason, then, dude, that's on you. That's on you. Prove yourself worthy. And we've talked about it all year on this show, Nick. Tier Tart was likely going to get paid. If he kept the trajectory of what he was doing the first half of the season till the end of the year, he was going to get paid whether it was by the Titans or somebody else. But I think his attitude and the way that he's handled this and the production that he's had since coming back from that injury is only hurting him. So the fact that they released him and it's gotten to that extent shows me that this is not a character-leveled guy that you want in your locker room. And it seems like the players also had some frustrations with him and how he was treating that as well. But really quickly, before we head to break here, we got a caller. Wes from Hermitage is on the line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Wes, what is going on, man? What are your thoughts about this Titans defense?
Man, I got two things. I got one on the defense and one on the offense. Good to hear from you guys this morning. I love the show on Saturday. And the first thing is with Tart, man. I think about this in real world and just real life situations. I know what it's like going to work every day and having a pretty decent staff, being able to like your job, and you've got that one person that's just toxic. It's just, hey, man, how you doing? Oh, man, it's just not a good day. And, you know, that stuff carries over. It's contagious. And other players are seeing that. So I think that it's probably best that we just went ahead and got rid of them. So I don't have a problem with that. I do miss Tart, we will miss Tart's play. But getting him out of here, I think, was probably the best thing for this team right now. If you don't want to be here, then it's time for you to go. The other thing was that Miami game. I think that was a pretty good idea of what we have to look forward to in the future. I think we got to see a lot of our young talent just doing multiple different things, playing multiple different roles, and we got to see some people do some things and make some plays that I don't think we have really seen a lot this year. And Spears and Levis just looked solid, man. So that's all I got. I'm out on Tart, but I'm really high on this team right now, and I still haven't given up on Vrabel. So I think next season it's going to look like a completely different team, guys.
Appreciate the call, Wes. Definitely. This was a confidence booster of a game in Miami. Now, if the Titans were to win out and finish the season 9-8, their playoff chances are still very, very slim. There's got to be a lot to go their way. So playoffs should not be on the Titans' mind. So what should be? The Texans are coming into town this week. The Oiler uniforms are coming out. They're dealing with a bunch of injuries. What is there to gain if the Titans keep winning some of these games? We're going to get into that coming up next. Texans preview this week. What the Titans have to gain for keep winning games and not worry about this draft position that I keep hearing about from a lot of Titans fans on Twitter. That's not what this is about. There is more to it than that. We're going to get into that. Texans preview coming up next. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tune in tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball on 94.9 The Fan. The Commodores take on Texas Tech on the road. Tip-off is going to be at 6:30 p.m. with the pregame beginning at 6. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app. Welcome back in to Riddle and the Reporter. Final segment talking about the Tennessee Titans. Today, they take on the Houston Texans at home this weekend, or tomorrow, I should say, noon kickoff. And they are going to be trolling the city of Houston wearing those beautiful Oiler uniforms just one more time this year. God, and the way they played last time, maybe they light it up again, Nick. I don't know. But the Texans are dealing with, just a massive amount of injuries. Will Anderson, out. Questionable. Nico Collins, George Fant, their right tackle that they signed in the offseason, is questionable. C.J. Stroud is listed as doubtful. Let's see who else. Noah Brown, another receiver that's been doing a lot for them this year, is questionable. Shaq Mason, one of their starting guards, is questionable. And then Henry Tutu is also questionable. So they got a lot of guys that are on the injury block. It looks like Dalton Schultz will be giving it a go, and then Robert Woods, who was kind of on the injury report early in the year, looks like he's going to go. But, and for the Titans, on the other end, Denico Autry is questionable. I think he's going to likely play. Jack Gibbons is questionable. Kyle Phillips is out with a hamstring. That is not good. You know, I'm a proponent of Kyle Phillips getting in there and getting some work. I like him and Will Levis's connection. Tier Tart, yeah, he was on the injury report, but he's definitely out and out of the franchise in general. Jeffrey Simmons out, Josh Wiley out, and then Kayvon Wallace is questionable, and so is Nick Westbrook-Ikhina with an illness. So both injury reports are pretty stacked up here for the Titans and Texans, Nick. When I look at this, the Titans are favored by 3.5 at home, and especially if C.J. Stroud isn't going to play, which it seems like he more than likely is not. This should definitely be a game that the Titans win, and I think this is a game that ownership in particular absolutely wants to win, because they lose to the Texans with the way their roster is shaping out right now, and wearing those Oiler uniforms that has caused a huge fuss in the city of Houston. My God, do they need to win this game?
You know who's starting at quarterback for the Texans, right?
Davis Mills.
I have from Aaron Wilson from KPRC2 on Twitter. So that would be Houston's NBC TV affiliate. He's saying that it looks like, let's see, he says,
tell me, Case Keenum can play.
Case Keenum, yes, that's what I have from Aaron Wilson. Yeah,
interesting.
That's what he's saying. So I don't know. We were talking about Davis Mills the last few days. That might be a possibility, but yeah, I think Case Keenum will be starting against the Two-Tone Blue on Sunday. So that's interesting. And so the concussion's still lingering long enough for C.J. Stroud. I find that intriguing for sure. So, but yeah, that's the latest out of Houston. That was about 9 hours ago, according to that post. But I mean, that's a huge advantage for the Titans. But then again, you know, Case Keenum has, you know, I think he's had his moments, but he's obviously been a backup quarterback in the league for a long, long time. But look, I think he took, and I think that this week it's telling that he took most of the team's, you know, first team snaps. So throughout the week, if you're doing that, and Davis Mills is getting some work with that as well, but you saw more snaps go to Case. Looks like the Titans, well, excuse me, the Oilers will be seeing Case Keenum this weekend, Junie. So that is an interesting development, I would have to say. And the Texans do trail the Jags in the standings right now to win the AFC South. So that's a very intriguing move, at least on my case, at least. And Keenum is Keenum's 35, by the way. It was just kind of crazy just to think about.
Well, I actually think that this is more of a disadvantage for the Titans. Reason being is when Tim Kelly was the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans before he came over here and joined the Titans staff. I mean, Davis Mills was his quarterback. So you're talking about having a guy on your coaching staff that knows the Houston Texans backup quarterback very well. So the fact they're putting Case Keenum in, who, you know, We've seen him have some pretty good success as a backup in this league coming in, thinking about, you know, that year that he led the Vikings to the NFC Championship, and ultimately they got beat pretty badly by the Eagles in that game. But all in all, I mean, I think Case Keenum is a very serviceable backup who can throw the ball. And if you're talking about potentially getting Nico Collins and Noah Brown back. Dalton Schultz is going to be back in the mix. You know, that could cause for some trouble if they have all those guys back. Because remember, last week when they took on the Jets, C.J. Stroud, you know, he wasn't playing a really good game against that stout Jets defense. They didn't have Nico Collins, no Noah Brown. Tank Dell was on IR, and they didn't have Dalton Schultz, so they had none of their weapons. So that's why they really looked as bad as they did in New York. So now they're going up against this Titans team, and I feel like something has got to give. Is this Titans defense going to continue to play the way they did in Miami? Or without T.R. Tart and Jeffrey Simmons being out, you know, can the Houston Texans, as they're getting a little bit healthier with their weapons, take advantage? I think Case Keenum gives them a better opportunity to do that.
Maybe so. I don't know. It's his 11th year in the NFL, so kudos to him for sure. But look, I mean, the last time he played quarterback in the NFL registered-wise was in 2022. He had 8 yards with the Bills, and then he played in Cleveland. In 2021, he appeared in, it looks to be, 7 games. So, look, Case has the experience. You were talking about his Vikings days. And so, yeah, he played pretty well then. So what will he be able to do against the Titans and against a less than apparent secondary? So I don't know. But maybe Vrabel and Coach Stretch can have another tomahawk and maybe draw up some plays at dinner, maybe before they play them. So I don't know. That sounds interesting enough for me, at least. But look, Junie, I think the biggest thing for the Titans this weekend, it's going to be about how they start. And Will Levis, by golly, when they played in these uniforms last time, not that the uniforms mean anything necessarily, but when you wear them proudly. So I think for Will's sake, he should be coming in, and he knows, first NFL start, it was the last time I wore these, and I'm coming off of a huge win in Miami. This is a huge opportunity for them to take advantage of a team that is hurt while they're down right now. And you're not going to get the same Houston team next time you play them, more than likely. And so the Titans are catching a break a little bit here, I would say. So that is a good little piece for Will Levis to build off of as well. And so, you know, one thing I'm hopeful for that may not be something that we see on Sunday, Traylon Burks getting involved and actually showing up and playing well. That is something that we have yet to really see. I mean, he's had a couple of glimpses before he got hurt, but it's been a struggle. So if the Texans can hold down D-Hop, which maybe, maybe not, but if they are you know, doing pretty well against him, the Titans are going to have to throw to either NWI or they're going to have to throw to Chris Moore, which I like those guys. But you got to get Burks involved. So I'm kind of curious to see what they do to throw around the ball on Sunday.
Yeah, I simply don't know what they're going to do with Traylon Burks in the offseason. I mean, you spend a first-round pick on him, and he just hasn't shown much, a lot of which hasn't been his fault. He's been dealing with injuries. He's gotten knocked out, like literally knocked out in 2 games with really bad concussions. So, you know, thinking about his health, thinking about him returning, and that in particular I'm more worried about. But for me in general, when it comes down to this game, I think this has to be a Derrick Henry game, but also Will Levis making the big plays. I don't think Will Levis needs to be the way that he put the team on his shoulders in Miami is not what he needs to do in this game. Derrick Henry needs to get going in this game. You know, he had a really bad outing in Miami. He's had a lot of bad outings on the road all season long, but at home he's averaging more than 96 yards per game. They need to get him going, and historically, he has owned the Houston Texans. That's what needs to happen. But in my opinion, although I think the offense is going to rely heavily on Henry, Will Levis needs to take this game personally, okay? We all knew that the Titans loved C.J. Stroud coming out of the draft, and we knew that they were looking to trade up to number 3 to go and get him. And Houston caught wind of that, and they made sure it didn't happen. So you're talking about two teams, the Titans and the Texans, both rumored to be into Will Levis. One of them got him. The other one got the guy they actually wanted. I think this is a game that Will Levis needs to take personally. And if there's any team that he should take personally from how he was treated in the draft, it's got to be this one against Houston. Because both teams in this matchup wanted C.J. Stroud. And the Titans got Will Levis. So he needs to show the franchise that he's playing for right now, that he is the franchise quarterback for this season, that he is the guy, and that they made the right choice by taking him when they did. Before we head over to break, though, we do have Kitty the Mailman, one of my favorite callers on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He's got some comments about the Titans. Kenny, good morning. How are we doing? Happy Saturday. And what are your thoughts about the team heading into the Texans game?
Good morning, friends. I have more packages than Santa Claus today.
Wonderful. I hope you're making a bunch of young kids this Christmas, and I'm sure that it just fills your heart knowing that you get to do that.
I think I am. Listen, there's a rather shrill voice on in the afternoons that loves to remind people that the Titans passed and passed and passed on Will Levis and didn't really have his plans. Does that ring a bell? Do y'all know that voice? Starts with a J.
Is it Jared? I have this man's press pass right here for Belmont basketball. Jared Stillman? Are we talking about Jared
that's
Stillman?
It.
That
that's
guy?
It. I also would like to remind. They traded up also to get him. A lot of people forget that in the second round. So evidently they did change their minds and they want him. And listen to this. I've been married to the lovely and gracious Babette for 40 years this summer.
Congratulations.
Three times before me, she was engaged and it fell through. And you know what? Didn't bother me a bit. I'm the best recipient ever. So maybe that's how Will Levis looks at it. I wish we'd sort of get off that one note that people sound sometimes to sort of bring up negative things. We're glad Will is here, and I hope he's glad also. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Kenny. And again, I think Kenny's right. I don't think Will Levis at this moment in time cares about where he got drafted. Kenny uses his fuel in these matchups against other AFC South opponents that passed up on him. Sure, but harness that. Don't hold on to it because he's happy to be here. He seems to be the guy here, and he's now showing you why the Titans should build around him going in the future. So a big matchup against the Texans. Oiler jerseys coming out against them. Biggest troll job, I think, in all of sports right now. So we will get into that a little bit more, making our picks at the end of the show. But coming up next, hour number two, we're going to be talking a lot of Nashville Predators. This is the hottest team in town right now. 12-3 out of their last 15. Philip Forsberg playing out of his mind. What is the latest with the team with Nick Kieser? We're going to get into that all next. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter. Hour number two up next. Junior Riddle, Nick Kieser here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.